cross, burdens thrown away. You are listening to a broadcast from Life Point Community Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Wherever you are at this point in life, we hope and pray that God will use the following message as a source of help and encouragement as you listen.
Well, it's a new year. 2008 is almost a blur for me. I don't know about you. A lot of joys in 2008. A lot of frustrations in 2008. As was said this morning already, there are some things about 2008 I'm very glad are behind us. And we can move on. How many of you know that it's easier to begin something than it is to finish it? It's easier to buy a treadmill than it is to use the treadmill. Can I get an amen on that one? How many of you have treadmills in your house that have now been converted into clothes hangers, right? You just hang your clothes there. It's easier to start an exercise program than it is to see it through. Now, I don't want to get an amen on this next one because I'm not trying to be funny, but it's easier to get married than it is to stay married. I knew somebody would. That's why I paused. It's going to be a long afternoon for you, bro. A long year, she said. That's what I'm talking about. Happy 2009. Anybody can get married. You don't need any qualifications to get married. But you go and find somebody who's been married, not just married, but married and still in love, passionately in love with their spouse 20, 30, 40 years later. 50. It's almost impossible to find. Hey, it's easier to have a baby than it is to raise a child. I don't mean anything by that, kids. I don't mean that in a bad way, you know. That's a good point. I wasn't talking about the birthing process. It's easier to receive Jesus into your heart than it is to walk with him faithfully all the days of your life. It's easier to start a church than it is to see that church through the hard times. It's easier to start things than it is to finish them. And I'll tell you, there's no shortage of people who are quick to stand and say, hey, Phil, I'll be faithful in that. But so many of those people are hard to find 6 months, 8 months, or a year down the road because it's easier to start things than it is to finish them. Jesus said in Luke 9:62, any man who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for service in the kingdom of God. And I tell you, I've wrestled with that verse over the years because I want to say to him, Lord, would you not be willing to just back off that just a little bit? I mean, that sounds really harsh to me. Would you not be willing to negotiate that just a little bit? Because it sounds really cruel what you're saying. That any man who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for service in the kingdom of God. Lord, that bothers me a little. And Jesus looks at me with eyes filled with love, but unflinchingly he says, no, I won't back down from that. I meant that when I said that. Jesus was never concerned about trying to get crowds of people to follow him. He was only concerned with getting the committed people to follow him. In fact, I love Jesus because he went out of his way to chase people off. Because he had an advantage we didn't have. He knew their hearts and their minds. And he knew they were only in it for, hey, maybe he'll feed 5,000 people again today and we can check that out. That'll be fun. But he knew that when it came time to pick up their cross and to follow him, they weren't interested in that at all. And so he constantly said hard things to them to separate the men from the boys. And I want to tell you, gang, one of the hazards of the Christian life is a temptation to quit. Just throw in the towel, quit. Those of you who were here a couple of months ago on that Sunday when I got up to speak, and I stood here for 15 or 20 seconds and wasn't able to really say anything, and then folded up my notes and told you I couldn't speak that day. What I wasn't prepared to tell you at the time was that the night before that, I had been up through the night wrestling with the most vicious spiritual attacks I've ever faced in my life. And in the middle of the night, not only was Satan trying to tell me to quit this ministry, but he was trying to tell me to quit life, to just end it. I hope it doesn't bother you that I'm that honest with you. It took me a while to get to the point where I was comfortable sharing that with you, but I want to share that with you today. Because here's the thing. There's somebody here in this room, you're very close to that same point. You look at your life and you think it's pointless, it's worthless, I don't matter to anybody, I'm not making any difference to anybody. Why bother? And so I want to encourage you this morning through the verse that God has given to me for 2009 for this church. I want to take a few minutes together and encourage you today to let you know that you are not the only person on the planet facing those thoughts. And I want to encourage you today by letting you know that we have hope in Jesus Christ that can see us through any situation in life. If you have your Bibles, open them please to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Go all the way down to verse 58. Honestly, I was headed in a completely different direction for our verse for 2009. I mean, completely different direction. I'd already talked to one of our guys about it probably back in October, about my thoughts and where I was heading for this year. And over the last 3 or 4 weeks, God has just been bringing this verse, 1 Corinthians 15:58, to my mind over and over and over again. You know how it is when God is trying to tell you something? Actually, God doesn't try to do anything. God tells us something, and we try to listen. That's our problem. You know, everywhere I turned, this verse just kept coming up. I turn on the radio, I'd open a book, whatever. And I'll tell you, this is a completely different tack than I was thinking of taking for 2009. But I will tell you this, this is the verse that God wants us to think about in 2009. And I don't know why. Maybe it's for you. You could poll this room today, and I guarantee you there would be people here who would say, you know, at the first service of 2008, I never imagined that I would face the things that I ended up facing in 2008. And there are some of you here this morning, you go, well, hey, man, life's great. I mean, it couldn't get any better. Perhaps this verse won't mean much to you today. I encourage you to tuck it away, because for some, probably for many, God is going to use this verse to encourage you at some point along the way this year. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says this, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I want to share that same verse with you from the King James Version, because it takes some of the words that are in that verse and it puts them a little bit closer to the original intent or the original thought of some of those words. Here's what that verse says in the King James. It says exactly the same thing, just with a little bit of a twist on it. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable. That's an old English word. Our word today is immovable. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The first thing this verse commands us to do is to stand firm, to let nothing move you, to be steadfast and immovable. I'm going to tell you what, there are a lot of things in this life that will come our way that are going to try to knock us off our feet. There are a lot of things that we're going to face in this lifetime, in the Christian life, that are going to try to shake us, that are going to try to get us to change our mind on the things that we say we believe and we stand for. There are a lot of things that we need to stand firm against or in the midst of. One of the things that we need to stand firm against, you don't have to look far, it's opposition to the Christian faith. You and I, in case you haven't noticed it, live in a culture that no longer believes in absolute truth. Guys, if you haven't figured that out yet, I'm going to tell you, it's time to stop hitting the snooze button. It's time to wake up and look around. We live in a culture that not only does not believe in absolute truth, they mock people who do believe in absolute truth. And by the way, that's you and me. And it's now to the point that they not only make fun of people who believe in absolute truth, but listen, they're starting to become antagonistic to people who believe in absolute truth. And I tell you, unless God brings a move, a mighty move to our country, we're going to see the laws of our nation slowly, very, very slowly, starting to change and turn against those of us who do believe in absolute truth. I guarantee you it's coming. I lived in South Africa for many years. And we traveled between South Africa and what used to be Rhodesia many times. It's now Zimbabwe. And we could see it coming then. And my dad preached and tried to help and warn those people. I'm telling you, this is coming, this is coming, this is coming. And they said, oh, it will never happen here. It's happened. It's already happened. You and I live in a day and age where believing in John 14:6 is laughable to people. Not only is it laughable, but they will hate you for it. Where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You try to have a conversation with the average person today over the water cooler about that verse, you will be ridiculed. You'll be excluded from company events. People won't want to give you the time of day. They'll think you're a bigot. They'll write you off as a radical extremist. Why, Jesus, the only way to God. That's ridiculous. Any way you want to get to God is fine. You have your truth, I have mine. I tell you guys, I'm telling you, we need to be committed as followers of Jesus Christ. Don't commit a year from now when trouble comes. Commit today. We are going to stand firm on the truth. We are going to be steadfast and immovable. What happens if 5 years from now our country passes a law that it is illegal for pastors to stand in the pulpit and preach against homosexuality? Illegal. You will be arrested and put in jail for it. What are we going to do? What am I going to do? I have the truth of God's word on one hand, and I have what the government might be saying on the other hand. Am I going to stand firm and be immovable? Or am I going to waffle and say, well, you know, we're living in new times. I mean, come on. This verse warns us to be steadfast, to let nothing move us. We also need to be steadfast and stand firm in the hardships of life. Some of you in this room know what 2008 brought into your life. Some very, very difficult things. And I can't tell you the joy that it has brought to me and the way that it has inspired me to watch you remain steadfast and immovable in your faith and your love for Jesus Christ through the storms that blew through your life in 2008. I'll tell you, it's a monumental encouragement to me. And no one is immune from wanting to throw in the towel or wanting to hate God when awful things come into their life. The great prophet Elijah, you remember in 1 Kings 19, when trouble came into his life, what did he do? I mean, this is a great, powerful prophet who performed incredible miracles, and yet you flip the page in your Bible and you see Elijah lying down praying to God that he would die. He said, God, I'm done. Just kill me. I don't want to live anymore. And Elijah knew what it was to face hardships in life and to go through that decision of, am I going to be immovable, unshakable, or am I going to crumble beneath the pressure? I was reading a story a while back online on a news site, and I found this photograph, which I kind of put away when I found it because I thought maybe I'd use it one day. And to me, this is a great picture of something that was just immovable. There was a guy who had gone out and paid like $250,000 for a brand new Ferrari. More money than brains, right? And I happen to love Ferraris. You know that. I've mentioned them a lot. It's one of my dream cars. I'm hoping for the 10th anniversary here at LifePoint. You know, maybe the little ones, yeah. That'd be great. So this guy takes his Ferrari out. The streets are wet. And he's flying down the street. Loses control. Hits a tree. Now, he walked away from this. I don't know if you can see that, but the Ferrari was split in half by the tree. And he walked away. He was fine. The car actually did what it was designed to do. The driver's capsule just sort of separated from the rest of the car, and he was safe. But check that out. There's $250,000 car split in half by a tree. When I was riding motorcycles years ago, I had a friend tell me, if you ever lose control, make sure you hit something man-made, not something that God made. Okay? And he was right. He was absolutely right. Okay, to me, that tree is a picture of what we're talking about. I mean, the tree is just immovable. It's like, oh, I felt something. Did something bump up against me? Yeah, $250,000 car just did at 100 miles an hour. The tree was absolutely immovable. And I'll tell you guys, the reason that tree is immovable is because it has deep roots. And you and I need to be grounded deeply in Jesus Christ and in the truth of His Word so that whatever comes at us in life, whatever it is, we can be like that tree. And we can stand there and we can be steadfast and we can be immovable in our faith. It's so important. But just because we're called to be steadfast and immovable does not mean that we are to be stagnant. Because the very next phrase in 1 Corinthians 15:58 goes right on to say that we are to give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord, or we are to be abounding in the work of the Lord. And that word abounding means to give more than enough. It means to go above and beyond. And as I told you earlier when we began this morning, this was Jesus' mode of operation with people. Jesus constantly called people higher. He constantly challenged people to go further. He said, if someone slaps you on one cheek, you give them a knuckle sandwich. Is that what he said? No, he said, you turn the other cheek. And you go, well, you know, if you need to slap me, go ahead and slap the other cheek too. If someone asks you to go 1 mile with them, which that was Roman law, if a Roman soldier walked up to you as a citizen and said, I demand that you carry my backpack, the law said you had to carry it for 1 mile and not a step further. Jesus comes along. He says, you know what? If someone asks you to go 1 mile with them, we read that today, it doesn't mean anything. To those people, it meant a lot. They were sick and tired of the Romans. They hated the Romans. Jesus says, if they come up to you and say, hey, I want you to go a mile for me, Jesus says, don't stop at a mile, go two. They're like, what? Jesus was constantly pushing people, and that's what this verse is saying. Give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. I want you to be abounding in the work of the Lord, to go above and beyond, to go further than expected. People said, yeah, Jesus, I want to follow you. He said, do you really? You need to understand, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. You still want to go with me? We're not staying in the Ritz-Carlton. I have no home. You still on board? Well, I don't know. Hey, Jesus, I'm in, man. I want to see some more of those miracles. You want to follow me? Okay, well, here's the thing. Unless you're willing to leave father and mother, brother and sister, husband and wife, son and daughter, houses and lands, and follow me, you can't follow me. What? Jesus had nothing against mother and father and brother and sister and husband and wife and son and daughter. But what he was saying was, if there's anything or anyone in your life that comes before me or above me, you can't follow me. You have to be willing to leave everything. Hey, Lord, we're here. We're going to follow you. Woo! Great. Take up your cross and follow me. What? Take up a cross? Well, people die on crosses. Yeah, they do. You still want to follow me? And Jesus was constantly sort of, you know, saying to these crowds, guys, I'm raising the bar. I don't have time to get into this, and I probably shouldn't. But it really bothers me on some deep level when I see churches today that go to such great lengths to do everything they can to make it comfortable for people to come to Jesus. I mean, they provide every amenity imaginable in the church to entice people to come. And I know there's a balance there. But I look at that and then I look at Jesus and I go, something doesn't fit here. Jesus never said, hey man, I'm going to make it real easy for you guys to follow me. If I ever say anything that bothers you, well, you just let me know and I'll change it for you. Jesus was constantly challenging people to push harder, to go further, to let go of more things in order to follow him and be fully committed to him and to nothing else. We're not called here in this verse to give ourselves partially to him. Called to give ourselves fully to him. Not to do the least we can do for the Lord in order to squeak by, but to go above and beyond in our service to him. I'll tell you, churches are filled with people who stubbornly refuse to give anything to God. I'm telling you, they're filled with them. Many years ago, in the church that Sandy and I were attending, very large church, I was asked one Sunday morning to go around and make quick visits to some of the adult Sunday school classes because we had a tremendous shortage of helpers in the nursery and children's areas. And so a good friend of mine, Alan Corbin, Alan's a great guy, he and I went and we were going from class to class and we were making this quick 30-second announcement. You know, we need help in the children's ministry. We're asking you if you would just sign up for, you know, one Sunday a year to help us cover it. So we went to this one adult Sunday school class, and we walked in, and I said, you know, you need to make a quick announcement. We made the announcement, and everybody in the class, there were probably, I don't know, 40 people in there, maybe more, they all sat there like this. And I said, if anybody, you know, if you're interested now, could you raise your hand, and I'll give you the sheet, and you know, I did this. So I was like, whew. So I said, you know, thank you for your time, and we walked out. And before we were out of the room, the teacher said, now, getting back to where we were before we were interrupted. And I thought to myself, you know, there is a snapshot of the American church. Yeah, man, I asked Jesus into my heart, but he better not ask too much of me. People in churches who get furious whenever the pastor talks about money or giving. Why? Last time I checked, Jesus gave his life for us. People in the church who get upset, I'm not talking about this church, I'm talking about just the church in general. Thank God we don't deal with that here yet. I hope we never do. But people in churches who just get miffed whenever they say, you know, guys, we need help in a certain area, will you please step forward and help? People just sit there, don't look at me. I think the only response to abounding grace is abounding love and service for the rest of our life. We sang it this morning. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Can we possibly respond to the abounding grace of Jesus Christ with anything less than abounding love and service? Let me ask you this morning, is there any area of your life? I ask this quickly and I move on and finish. Is there any area of your life that you're holding back from God right now? You don't have to come to 18 hours of counseling with me to figure that out. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and he's telling you right now what that is. Anything. Jesus said, if you try to keep your life for yourself, you'll lose it. But if you give your life away for my sake, you'll discover what life is truly all about. I pray today that if there's some area of your life that you're holding back, that you'll just, today, the first Sunday of 2009, you'll say, Lord, I'm giving it to you. It's yours. I release it to you. Do whatever you want with me. Use my life in whatever ways you need to. And then finally, the last thing this verse tells us to do is actually a reason for the first two. It tells us to be steadfast and immovable, always giving ourselves fully, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Here's why. Because you know. Not you hope so, not maybe, but you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Let's just be honest here. One of the things that every one of us struggles with in life is not seeing the kind of results that we wish we would see from our labors in this life. That's the truth. We live in the microwave generation. I remember hearing one comedian saying, you know, how far we've come in our impatience that we stand in front of the microwave saying, hurry up! You know, and that's true. I mean, come on, I don't have all minute. Let's go. And we're a push-button society. I mean, we push the button, we expect a result. And in life, listen, church, in our labors for the Lord, whatever area God has called you to serve Him in, there is a constant danger, and I speak to myself, of doing something for the Lord and then standing back and waiting for the results to pop up. And when they don't, what's the result? We get discouraged. And we go, well, I guess that was a waste of time. I guess I shouldn't have bothered. And everybody deals with this. Even Isaiah said, I have labored for no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. But the last part of the verse gives the answer. And I happen to think there was a very long pause between these two sentences because he finally woke up and he said, yet. What is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God. We need to understand that God is not going to allow us to see all of the results of our labor for Him in this life. He's not. In His wisdom, He's going to keep that from us. I was invited to preach at a church one time. And I went and I prepared and I was ready and I spoke on exactly what I felt God wanted me to speak on. And I got up in the service and I poured my heart into that message. And when it was done, I drove away and I thought, what a waste of time. I just felt like the whole service just tanked. And I was mad. And I was disappointed with God. And to my embarrassment, I found out months later that there was a man in that service who prayed to receive Jesus Christ while I was preaching. And he is now still to this day leading his entire family to follow the Lord. And God said to me, Phil, don't look for immediate results. I want you to keep pressing on even when you don't see results. I want you to be faithful to me no matter what. I learned a great lesson that day, but I want to tell you, church, I still struggle with it. I do. It's just human nature. Sandy will tell you how many times I leave this service on Sunday morning and just go, what a waste. I shouldn't have even gone. It's not your fault. I'm looking at me. I go, I shouldn't have even spoken this morning. It was a waste of time. Nobody got anything out of that. It was a complete failure. And it's something that, this is a personal thing for me. I struggle with this. I do, because I'm not a public speaker. This is not my default mode. Up here, where you see me every Sunday, this ain't really me. Okay? This is God telling me I want you to do that, and I'm doing it. But, I'm the guy at the party who's standing in the corner by himself drinking punch. That's me. Okay? I'm not the guy up here doing all the talking. So, I struggle with this a lot. And I say, God, are you sure that you've got the right man for this? Are you really sure? And so we have to press on through those times when we don't see any results. But I want to share with you Galatians 6:9. It says, let us not become weary in doing good, for tomorrow by 3 o'clock. Wait. No. It says, for at the proper time or in due season, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. I'm so thankful that when Christ was dying on the cross and they were still ridiculing him to the very last moments of his life, saying, if you're the Son of God, why don't you come down from there? I'm so glad he didn't quit. I'm so glad that when the Apostle Paul was beaten and stoned and left for dead, that he didn't quit. I'm so glad that a crippled missionary named Randy Pike, who was facing criticism from everybody he knew for taking his family to the deserts of Australia to become a missionary, didn't quit. So thankful for that. I want to tell you this morning, church, some of you here in 2009 are going to be faced with the temptation to quit. You are. And I want to be one of the people in your life who comes alongside you and who encourages you and who challenges you to never quit, to keep going, to give more than you think you can give in service for the Lord, because it is going to be worth it. It is going to be worth it if we don't quit. Watch this video and then we're through.
All right, let's go. Show me something. 10 yards. Move it. Let's go, Matt. Let's go, Jonathan. Show me something. 10 yards. Show me some power. No knees. Keep your knees off the ground. Show me something. There we go. 10 yards. Show me some muscle. Show me some power. Give me some heart. Let's go. Very good, boy. Very good. Let's run it back.
Oh, man. It's not even funny, dude.
So, Coach, how strong is Westview this year?
A lot stronger than we are.
You already written Friday night down as a loss, Brock?
Well, not if I know we could beat them.
Come here, Brock. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
What, you want me to go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
50? I can go to the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
Your best.
Okay.
You gonna give me your best?
I'm gonna give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
Because I want you giving up at a certain point when you could go further. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. Now get a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right, let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground, just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left, a little bit left. There you go. Jeremy, good effort. That way, Brock. You keep coming. There you go. It's a good start. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
Not another 20 yet?
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. No, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
I ain't done. I'm just resting a second.
You gotta keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving it. Keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on. Keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
I'm out of strength.
Then you negotiate with your body to find more strength, but don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going, you hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. Do not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
My arms are burning.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. You promised me your best. Your best. Don't stop. Keep going.
Too hard.
It's not too hard. You keep going. Come on, Brock. Give me more. Give me more. Keep going. 20 more steps. 20 more. Keep going, Brock. Give me your best. Don't quit. No. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Brock Kelly, you don't quit. Keep going. Keep going. No, Brock Kelly. You don't quit on me. No, you keep going. You keep going. Go, Brock. 10 more steps. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. Keep going. Don't quit. Give me your heart.
I can't do it.
You can. You can. 5 more. 5 more. Come on, Brock. Come on. Don't quit. Don't quit. Come on, Brock. 2 more. 1 more.
It's got to be 50. I don't have any more.
Look up, Brock. You're in the end zone. Brock, you are the most influential player on this team. If you walk around defeated, so will they. Don't tell me you can't give me more than what I've been seeing. You just carried a 140-pound man across this whole field in your arms. Brock, I need you. God's gifted you with the ability of leadership. Don't waste it.
Coach?
Can I count on you?
Yes.
Coach?
What is it, Jeremy?
I weigh 160.
That's one of the greatest five-minute clips from any movie I have ever seen. And I'll tell you, that clip has very little to do with football. It has an awful lot to do with life. I wonder if there's any area of your life today where you're feeling discouraged. And, you know, for some, they're at the brink of this new year. They're facing this new year, and it's filled with excitement and promise. Perhaps for you today, you're facing this new year, and you're just worn out. And for some of you today, you're thinking about just throwing in the towel. I want to encourage you today. Listen, folks, don't give up. We have a hope in Jesus Christ like no other. And just like you saw in that video clip, when you abound in what God has called you to do, whatever it is, you don't have to be a preacher. Whatever it is, whatever area of life God has called you to, when you abound in your walk with Jesus Christ, there are going to be people on the sidelines who stand and take notice. And they're going to be inspired by what they see in you. I want to encourage you today to stand firm, be immovable, to always abound in the work of the Lord. Why? Because we know that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. And one day, our reward is going to be Jesus himself, and it will be worth it all. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the great privilege that you've given me in my life of taking the journey with these precious people. Lord, you could have me anywhere today. Anywhere on this planet, but you have me here. And I am so thankful for that. I feel so blessed. I thank you for allowing me to do life with these folks. I thank you for the good times. I thank you for the bad times that we go through together. And Lord, I thank you for what you've already done through this church. But I pray as we stand here on the threshold of a brand new year, Lord, I pray that each one of us in this room would make a commitment right now that 2009 is going to be the year that we abound in the work of the Lord like we never have before. God, I pray you would light a fire in each of us. I pray that you would help us to commit ourselves to you in a fresh way this morning. And I pray that whatever comes into our lives in 2009, we would stand firm. We would be immovable, and that we would always abound and give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Lord, to whatever you've called us to do. There are people in this room who during the week go and help elderly widow ladies clean their house and take meals to them, and nobody ever sees that. That is the work of the Lord. There are people in this room who help out with mission projects and give money and their time, and nobody here sees it, but that is the work of the Lord, and that is your church in action, and I thank you for that. God, encourage these folks today, I pray. Lift their eyes. Help them to look down the road and see that their labor for the Lord is not in vain. Everything we do for God matters, even giving a cup of cold water to someone in your name. God, take this church this year and use us in ways that we cannot imagine for your glory. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a broadcast from LifePoint Community Church in Greenville, South Carolina. More teaching resources are available from our website at lifepointcc.org. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you today, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us directly from our website, or you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Thanks again for listening. May God bless you.